Bruchim Aboyim to the 10th and the last in the series of Shiurim on the Machshava, the thought of Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook, specifically as expressed in the Pinkas Hadapim Aleph from Yafo between the years Tafresh Samagdalet and Tafresh Ayin Dalet. The last few Shiurim, we've been focusing on what is listed as section number 4 in the Pinkas Hadapim, and Rav Kook is addressing himself to the Jewish approach, the way the Torah understands faiths which are actually specifically paganistic, or faiths which are heretical or paganistic. Rav Kook, as we will recall, presents an historiography of the evolution of monotheism through the input of paganism. He bases himself upon the Kabbalistic concept of the Paltzuf. And in detail, we saw last time how Rav Kook utilizes the ideas of the Ari, right, in understanding what Rav Kook understands as the ascension of spirituality, in fact, the ascension of monotheism through the interaction of different faiths which come to interact ethically and therefore ontologically through what Rav Kook identifies as the concept of the Paltzuf. That's what we did, Bekitzur Nimratz, with brevity, in last week. Now, Rav Kook, of course, was focusing upon idolatry. And the majority of the piece, of course, deals with idolatry, because idolatry is something which, in fact, is a theme in both of the Rishonim and the Rambam, even in the Ramban. And for sure, idolatry is where we see that there is a intellectual history of understanding its relationship, its dynamic relationship, with that of the Torah. However, the truth is that Rav Kook opens up his piece not with idolatry, but he opens up his piece with modernity. And that's how Rav Kook opened up the piece, reading from the very beginning of section 4, Ha'yibuvya hanimseis b'deis b'deireinu, the confusion that exists among the different philosophies of our generation, tzrich l'yos musoris mi'ikara. Rav Kook says there has to be an ethical foundation. Hakafir ba'aresis as kol oisha ha'oila. There he speaks about heresy as, in fact, destructive, destroying the joy, the universal joy, umachreves beis Yisrael, and destroying beis Yisrael ad ma'od. Now, this concept of heresy, and what Rav Kook would understand to be modern heresy, is actually a theme that Rav Kook actually expresses in actually other places, of course, naturally, but specifically, and I think the only sefer that was published in his lifetime, and that was Orot. If I'm not mistaken, maybe it was the first sefer, but the sefer that was published in his lifetime was Orot. And in a section of Orot, which is published by Mosada Rav Kook, on Daf Kuf Chavez, there Rav Kook writes, this is part of what's called the section called Zaroinim on Rav Kook. It begins on Kuf Yotes in the Mosada Rav Kook version of Orot. And Rav Kook, on Daf Kuf Chavez, in the beginning of the second paragraph, writes, Nishamos to Toihu, the neshamas of Toihu, gevoyes min neshamas de Tikkun, are higher than the neshamas of Tikkun. This is a very famous statement of Rav Kook. I think people got very angry when he wrote this. Gedoyes hen ma'od, they're very great. Bevakshes hen habim min mitzias, they require, they demand very, very much from the mitzias, from the world, from the physical world, or from the reality of the world. But their kalim, their vessels, are unable to contain this. Now, who are these neshames detoyo? So Rav Kook understands the neshames detoyo were basically the idealists of his generation, who were for the most part heretical. And what's important for us to understand is that Rav Kook understands that these are neshames detoyo. Olam hatoyo in the Ari is in fact the olam hashvira. We spoke about the shvira, the breaking of the vessels. And then, in fact, Rav Kook understands that the modern heresies of modernity, right, in fact, represent in Kabbalah the shvira sakeh, the breaking of the vessels, precisely because man's physical vessel, or man's the vessel which expresses the vessel which is defines. Man, right, is unable to contain the perfect light which is demanded by these thinkers, and therefore there's a breaking, there's a shvirat hakelim. So when Rav Kook writes at the very, very beginning over here, machreves, beis yisrael ad ma'od, I think that the intention of Rav Kook is not only to speak about the destructive aspect of heresy, right, in relationship to the Jewish faith, but actually, Rav Kook is actually using a term which, in fact, is alluding to the notion of Shvirat HaKelim. Now, of course, I don't have to tell you the controversial part of this is that he speaks about these Neshamis of Torah as being higher than the Neshamis of Tikkun, and since this is HashkafasRavel.com does not engage in any politics or controversy, so I will leave. You know, let the it's called in mathematics left to the reader. I will allow the reader to reflect upon that. But nonetheless, it's rather clear that even though Rav Kook here in section 4 is speaking about idolatry, right? His main idea, his main intention is actually to discuss the meeting point or the challenge, right, of modernity to, in fact, the traditional Judaism, traditional Torah thinking, as Rav Kook understood it. And the meeting between traditional Judaism and modernity is, in fact, actually the secret, and I say secret, but is actually the real theme of not only of Section 4, but actually a theme of all of his writings. Now, I want to summarize a little bit what we've done up to now in the first 9 shiurim to put things a little bit more in perspective. What are the major influences that we've discussed in relation to Rav Kook? We've spoken about the Leshem, and we know that the Rav Kook learned, right? He learned with the Leshem, learned by the Leshem. I should use the yeshivish term. We know that Rav Kook speaks about the Ramchal, especially the Das Tevunos, right, the Klach Pitzrei Chochma. But I want to actually, and I want to summarize these influences, but I think the influence which is actually not mentioned, at least not in the Hakdama of Rav David Cohen, the Nazir, to Eretz HaKodesh, but in fact, actually, the influence who I think was Rav Kook's Rebbe, certainly a Nigla, was none other than the Netziv, the Chashiva Volozhin. Rav Kook, we know, was a Talmud of Volozhin. He was close to the Netziv. I believe that the Netziv actually wrote a haskama to the Netziv was a very important influence for Rav Kook. We know he wrote several haskamas to Rav Kook, and in fact, actually, someone told me that very recently it was published that Rav Shimon Shkop was looking to apply to be a Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, Rav Kook Shashiva. Rav Kook was looking for a Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Kook writes back to him and says that Rav Shimon Shkop learned with Rav Chaim. But Rav Kook is interested more in taking Rosh Hashiva to learn by the Netziv. I'm sure that will be topic for discussion too. But in any case, Rav Kook very, very much understood himself to be a Talmud Netziv. Now, we would imagine a Talmud Netziv means a person who, in fact, is Shulet B'chol HaTeira Kula. The Netziv wrote in everything, right? Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta, Hamek Shela, right? Mugim Yisadeh, Harbeg Dava, and everything. But most important is, I think, the philosophic influence of Rav Kook is a very unique concept, which the Netziv develops, specifically in Ha'amak Dava, which is called Yashus. Yashus, the Netziv explicates in detail in his Hakdamah to Bereishis, but the concept of Yashus appears several times in Ha'amak Dava. In fact, actually, we're tomorrow's Erev Chag HaShavuos, Zman Matan Teraseinu, and I believe that Mamleches Kehanim v'goy kodosh, Rav Kook, the Netziv understands Mamleches Kehanim to be Yashus. And goy kodosh refers to the halacha Masu Alanu Miyosha Rabbeinu throughout all the deiros. The Netziv understands Yashus to be what we would call a universal humanity. And that's how the Netziv understands what Chazal referred to Sefer Bereishis as Sefer HaYosha. He speaks about Avraham Avinu davening, praying for Sodom, even though theologically he was opposed to them, an opposition that was probably the what he stood for. But nonetheless, he davened for Eidei Avodah Zarah, and the Siv says that this is a concept of Yashus, a basic humanity, and it's a theme within the Siv in many places. In fact, actually, if you read the Haskama, the Siv gives to the Chafetz Chaim's Avos Chesed, you'll see actually the theme of Yashus pops up there, right, in different forms. But in any case, the Yeshiva, the Siv understood in the basic concept of humanity. And in fact, humanity believes in a universal ethic which accepts different faiths, different opinions, even opinions which, I mean, the Siv speaks about Avraham Avinu, paganistic. And I think that this is a theme here in section 4. Right? Now, so this is one important influence on Rav Kook, that there's a somehow universal humanism which in fact actually raises the world and will incorporate paganistic philosophies, not in such that we chas v'shalom adopt their philosophies, but rather a way in which humanity is elevated through the Torah. Now, so that's influence number one in Rav Kook. Influence number two in Rav Kook, we mentioned the Leshem. In specific, in the Leshem, the influence of Rav Kook is that what characterizes the Kabbalah, the Leshem, or let's put it this way, his interpretation of the Kabbalah Sahari, is that the Leshem understands that the Kabbalah Sahari does not come to negate, refute the rationalistic philosophies of thinkers such as the Rambam, but rather is building on top of them. And we see over and over again that the Leshem understood that the Tzimtzum and the Kabbalah Deri was basically adding another layer on top of the rational philosophies of the Rambam, which were based, right, in science and in rational thinking, in Aristotle. This is throughout the Leshem, right? I think we might have spoken about in Likutim, the Leshem speaks about the Merav Nevuchim as being before the Tzimtzum, the Riz being after the Tzimtzum. In any case, the Leshem understands is that Kabbalah comes to, it builds upon rationalism and comes to add to rationalism and take rationalism and bring it to higher spiritual levels. This is the Kabbalah, the Litvisha Kabbalah, the Leshem, the real source, right? The Tate is really the Gra, but in fact, actually, the Leshem follows suit in the tradition of the thinking of the Gra. And that's the second important influence on Rav Kook. In addition to building upon the rational philosophy of the Rambam, we have to understand that part and parcel of that philosophy is understanding the Tzimtzum Kipshutoi, which the Leshem expresses very, very strongly in several places, including the Chiddush Ibi'orim, and understanding the Tzimtzum Kipshutoi basically enables a person to confront science and modernity in and of itself, without understanding it to be of purely spiritual content and therefore partially a part illusion. Now, the third influence on Rav Kook, right, that we mentioned, is in fact the Ramchal. Because the Kabbalah of the Ramchal understands that the rectification of man, the work of man in rectifying the world, is not only in Atzilus, in the spiritual world, as is clear in the Ari, but also in the Olam HaSapir, the physical world too. So there's a concept of the ascension of worlds in our physical world too. And of Cook, right, therefore, combines the understanding of the physical world of the Lesha with the notion of ascension of worlds in the Ramchal. And by that, Rav Kook is able to arrive at ideas which understand, which express what we would call a notion of progress, of continuing enlightenment within our world, within civilization, and modernity as being part and parcel of this continuing enlightenment. So these are the really three important influences that we've seen, right, are really the important influences which, in fact, Rav Kook is utilizing in all the pieces that we've seen heretofore. That's a very, without this perspective, I think that really, just about, there's really nothing that Rav Kook writes could really be understood. But the, like I said before, the central topic in Rav Kook's thinking is in fact actually this confrontation of the world of the Torah, with modernity. That's his important, that's the basis, or that's the starting point of his thinking. That's the, really the subject of his philosophy. And in fact, Rav Kook, right, the writings of Rav Kook are in fact actually very, very much in the, molded in the image of the Ramchal, being that Rav Kook is able to, in fact, write philosophy, Jewish philosophy, right, in which he, based upon the Kabbalah, but which he hides the Kabbalah, and that's what, in fact, the Ramchal calls an Ibshel. If a person looks at the relationship, let's say, between the Das Tevunos and the Sefer Klolim. Sefer Klolim is, in fact, Kabbalah. It's the Ramchal's understanding of the Ari. It's actually, in fact, in my opinion, it's actually a Perush on Yetz Chayim, a part of the Yetz Chayim. And the Das Tevunos is coming to explicate the Kabbalistic concepts in philosophical terms. That's the Das Tevunos. I think Rav Kook is basically doing the same type of a thing, right? As we've seen, most of these pieces are actually writing in a philosophical jargon, which is a philosophical version of concepts in the Kabbalah. And that's the way we've understood the three pieces that we've spoken about in these, you know, nine lectures. And that is really the major impact, what is novel in the thought of Rav Kook. Now, the Rav Kook understands that heresy, right, is ultimately to be understood as a type of a shvira sakelim, a breaking of the vessels. He says this explicitly in the section that I quoted in Arot, but actually, this is how he begins, right? Ha'ibuvi anintzis b'des b'dereinu, right? Is the kafira is ma'aresis as oish kol oish ha'oilo ma'cheves beis Yisrael ad ma'oid. Which means that heresy is a, Rav Kook understands heresy as really part of the Olam HaToyu, which in fact ushers in what's called the Olam HaTikun. But Toyu is not to be understood as a historical accident, but rather Toyu is really part and parcel of the creation and the ongoing evolution of the world. The Ari himself says that the Tzimtzum, which is the Ari's version of creation, the Tzimtzum itself is a type of a shvira, a type of breaking the vessels. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu contracts himself, kiviyochel, that's a type of a shvira. That's a breaking of the vessels, because the there is a siluk, right? There is a mission of kedusha. Right, either kipshuto, delo kipshuto, and that is, in a certain sense, the theme behind every type of shvira that takes place afterwards. In other words, when there's a siluk of kedusha in the shvira too, the oiris enters into the kelim, and then the kelim breaks. and the Eiris remain in Atzilus and the Kelim go into Bia, that's also a type of a Silik of Kedusha, a Silik of Or from the Kli. And so the Ari understands that the Shvira Tzidri in fact says that the Shvira is a type of a, I'm sorry, that the Tzimtzum is a type of a Shvira. So in other words, Shvira is very, very much related to how the Ari understood the essence of creation. And this goes back to the Psukim in the Torah, Bereish V'olakim Yishorim V'sa'oretz, V'oretz Haisa Soyva V'olchish Rabbeis Ahoy, V'yayim Elokim Yehi Or. And if a person just has to learn like Rashi learns, Pshuta Shamikra, then in fact, that creation, by he or creation, is a, in fact, in and of itself, a tikkun of Ha'aretz HaSoyva Voya, which Yari identifies in the Yitzchayim with the Shvira. There is no creation without Toyo, without Shvira. Creation doesn't exist without Toyo. There's no point to history without Toyo. I think Rav Kook states this in Orot, that in fact, actually, that Toyo and Shvira is a necessary condition, right, for creation, for anything which we identify with divine creation. So, in other words, we have in Rav Kook these two sides, right, of Kefira. On one hand, Kefira, right, writes Rav Kook very clearly, is Mahareses and Machreves. On the other hand, Rav Kook understands that Kefira, right, is a Shvira, without which, right, there cannot be a tikkun. There cannot be what Rav Kook refers to as the Aliyas Olamos. And that is the major theme which Rav Kook is expressing in section 4. He's speaking about Avodah Zarah, because in Avodah Zarah we have we have sources not only in historiography, but also in the Rishonim. But the fact is that Rav Kook understands that the concept of a Paltzuf represents the way in which the elements of false ideologies are necessarily incorporated into a organismic process through which the world achieves perfection. And Rav Kook understood that in fact actually this is the Ari's notion of Paltzuf. Very, very much in the Ari's Kabbalah, one can understand that the Ari's Kabbalah is additioning, in addition to being an understanding of the, not only of the Bires HaOlam, the creation of the world, and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation of the divine nature of the physical and spiritual worlds, but at the same time too, the Kabbalah of the Ari is in fact actually a historiography, according to Rav Kook. The Shviras HaKelim, in a certain sense, if we understand where the Ari stood in history, the Ari stands in history at the end of a period of rationalism. Even the Ramak's Kabbalah is for the most part based upon a rationalistic scientific view of the world. And the Ari's Kabbalah understands that the scientific view at a certain juncture, right, implodes, and it is the most important consequence of the Shvira, which is the Paltzuf, is needed to take these fragments and rebuild them in order to bring the world back on its track towards spiritual ascension and its important act of completion. So in other words, the Ari's Kabbalah is very, very much a historiography. The Ari, in addition to revealing the Kabbalah Mosu Alano Misinai and through the Maseiros HaDeiros, is also too a historiography, a Torah point of view of not only where the Ari stood in history, but where every generation stands in history. And that the rational view of the world, the necessity for the Eiros to be contained in the Kli, which I understand is that if we identify the ontology of the world with its physicality, which is scientific understanding, the Kli of man is basically man's conceptual understanding of divinity, its relationship to the world, that once this understanding is purely rational and based upon man's intellect, this inevitably implodes, and then man is in need of an ethic which mediates between rationalism and what is the divine revelation. And this is what Rav Kook says in his opening sentence. Habuvia nimzis b'deis b'deireinu, the confusion of philosophies in our generation, which are based upon man's ontology, man's conceptualization of the and of the scientific nature of the world, both of physics and metaphysic, has to be based in ethics. And this ethical relationship, which comes about through the Pautzuf, is only possible if, in fact, the scientific understanding implodes. That's a Shvilas HaKelim. And the Pautzuf comes along and unites ethics with ontology. And through that, the world is able to achieve what's called tikkun, rectification, and spiritual completion. So this is Rav Kook's, in my opinion, and my humble opinion, his very deep interpretation of the Kabbalah of the Ari. And as I said before, the three pillars, right? The three pillars, al shlosha devorim haraya oimet, right? Which are the Netziv, the Leshem, and the Ramchal, which are guarding Rav Kook in all of his thinking. Now, there's of course a lot more to say, and actually I understand that I think the title of these lectures was an introduction, was the thought of Rav Kook. But actually, now when I think about it, it's really, I'm not even sure if it's an introduction to the thought of Rav Kook, it's a preface to Rav Kook's thought. The Pinkas Adapim, which we've covered 1, 2, and 4. The first, second, and fourth sections.
20-something.
What? Oh, how many they're all together?
We did another piece as well.
Oh, did we? Oh, okay, very good. But actually, there are 63 pieces.
So, long way to go.
So, yeah, right. There's a long way to go. I know what 4 over 63 is, but it's not a big percentage. And actually, some of the most, I won't call it the dangerous ideas, but bold ideas of Kook we even haven't spoken about. You know, Baruch Hashem. Right, we didn't get to that, because we're going in order. And I think that if a person really wants to understand his thinking, then I think that the few pithy words I've had to say over the last 10 shiurim maybe can serve as a little bit of a signpost. But in fact, a person actually has to learn through these the whole machberet be'ilin, and after that, maybe all the shemana kavatsim. But of course, like Chazal say, lo alecha legmor tavoida, right? It's not possible for us to finish the melacha. But in any case, this will conclude my humble contribution. If in fact, after we've inspired people to learn Rav Kook, then in fact, actually, then the series was worth it. Yeah, it's very interesting to say, as life imitates Torah, you know that in the Ari, when a person does a mitzvah, we've spoken about Nesinas Moichin, and we've spoken about Shvir, etc., etc. One of the things in the Ari that's necessary for a person to generate the process of spiritual ascension is a person has to be, has to have Mesiras Nefesh. A person, in fact, when he does a mitzvah, has to imagine that he's actually receiving the Abba Mises Bezdin. That's actually the Kavanas of the Ari. Think as Rav Kook. Rav Kook actually was Maisa Nefesh, because we know that Rav Kook's thoughts were actually met with a certain amount of hostility in certain quarters. But maybe that's what's necessary for a bold thinker, you know, to in fact actually, as well, necessary for the truth to be expressed in the world. And that's, if Rav Kook was here, I think he would say, well, that's partially says, that's being Maisa Nefesh and Abba Mises Bezdin, and that's what's necessary for a person to bring about the Knesset HaMoichin, and these Alus HaLomis, that occurs as a result of doing a mitzvah. Anyway, from a...
If there's a huge influx of emails asking our troops to continue, is there room to negotiate?
Well, there's always room to negotiate, but anyway...
I want to thank on behalf of you, everybody who sent in donations.
Oh, yeah, we want to thank everybody. A lot of people have sent in donations. We just, as I said before, we bought a new camera and a new tripod, which you can't see, but actually, this is a type of, I guess... quantum mechanical thinking in the Wheeler sense, the self-consciousness of the universe. There's a nice picture that Professor Wheeler used to draw in Princeton. In any case, I want to thank everybody very much. for the donations and for some of the input. I always welcome your input. From an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Erev Chag Matan Terasenu, be well.